Blessed be the name of the Lord. If there's a people that ought to know how to give Him thanks, it's those of us living in this hour. Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. We thank Him for all the things that we know that He's done and the many, many, many more things that we don't know, but He's done it. Amen. Just the fact that He's kept you is enough to give Him thanks. Amen. He promised to keep you. He is keeping you. He will keep you. Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. Well, I just want to thank the choir from the bottom of my heart once again. It's a sacrifice. And give them a hand clap for that. Yeah. And of course, when I say the choir, I mean the choir and then all the there are musicians that support that as well. And my wife being in the choir, I know firsthand what a sacrifice it is for you, because you know it kind of chops up your day, and a lot of times there are practices on Sunday and between services, and so we're juggling. Okay, so do we have to take two vehicles, or do you want to come down and maybe finish studying in the office while we do the choir? And we have done that a few times, and it's been a blessing because I got a preview, and it created a nice atmosphere. So we thank the Lord for that. So. It is a sacrifice, and nothing good comes easy. So we thank you from the bottom of our heart. And I just want to tell you tonight, I want to speak to the choir personally. I want to tell you tonight that if it was just for me, it was worth it, right? And I'm claiming it's for me. Amen. I am blessed. I am absolutely blessed. And there's such a nice atmosphere here that we've been building up to, and when the preacher comes out, if he can't preach in this kind of atmosphere, he ought to go sell cars or something. Because you've... Windows? Sell windows? Okay. Not cars, windows. Okay. We're in Arizona, I forgot. So anyway, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And just we just pray that God would bless you double what we've been blessed by your labors. Amen. So... we don't need another introduction tonight. It's kind of bittersweet because, you know, it seems like our brother just got here and he'll be leaving, and this would be our last service with him. But we thank the Lord for sending him our way, and we're expecting tonight. And I always get what I expect. Actually, let me say that a little differently, a little more correctly. I always get more than I expect, right? And because of that, I'm always thinking, well, why didn't I expect more, right? But it's always more, and I expect a lot, right? And God never disappoints. So we thank the Lord for sending our brother. It's a sacrifice for him to leave his family and church and tropical weather and whatever else. And, wherever you live, there are certain things that... that you're comfortable with, and it doesn't matter where you go. It won't be the same wherever it is that you're traveling to. And even if you were staying in a nice place, it's not home. And you don't sleep the same, and your hours have shifted, so your body says, well, you shouldn't be eating now, and your body finally adjusts, and then it's time to go home, and then you got to readjust. And so it's a sacrifice for the minister, right? And so we pray that God would richly bless our brother for his labors. And we've taken him to a deli 2 days in a row, and I keep telling him they've misspelled deli, you know, D-E-L-I, it's D-E-L-E, you know, deli menu. I said, this is your menu, so yeah. I guess that's why I'm not a comedian, right? Okay. Don't quit your day job, Brother Baker. Sorry, I already did. Well, don't try and be a comedian. All right. Praise the Lord. So we want to invite him to come and take his liberty once again here tonight, and we will be ruminating over each and every message, and you can see the particular gift that God has given him to take the word and break it down and to stay with that thought until he's thoroughly wrung it out. And looked at it from this side, that side, the other side. And if you don't know, if you don't understand the thought by the end of the service, well, it wasn't from a lack of effort on his part. And it's a gift. It's a gift of the Lord, and we thank him for yielding to the Lord and allowing him to use that gift in his life, and we trust that it's a benefit to you and to each and every one of you. I know it is. And so let's pull in the gift again tonight, and we'll pray for God to give our brother a double portion of what we've been blessed with, right? And that his trip back home will be uneventful. That's what you want, one that's just everything goes smoothly, and that he would go home refreshed and with a spring in his step. Amen. So let's stand tonight as our brother prepares to come, and we'll sing I Just Want to Be Where You Are. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near, Lord. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. For in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you, oh my God, oh my God. You are my strength and my song. When I'm in your presence, though I'm weak, you're always strong. I just want to be, I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily, dwelling daily. Is that your desire tonight, friends? I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. Lord, I just want to be where you are. In your dwelling place, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. For in your presence, that's where I am. I just want to be with you. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap tonight.
Amen. May we please bow our heads once again. Gracious Father, that is our heart's desire. We want to be where you are. We want to live in your presence and enjoy and experience the power of your presence. Oh God, ever keep us close to thy side. Ever keep us in your presence. In your presence there is fullness of joy. A dry stick came into your presence one day, and it budded with flowers and roses. That is the power of your presence. Martha once said to you, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. She was giving compliments to the power of your presence. And you indeed prove the blessings of your presence. A man who was 4 days dead, corrupting and dry, buried, rose up to life in your presence. Oh God, come by once again tonight. May you renew our experience. May you help us to gather new hope. May we gather new strength. May we gather new grace. May we have a renewed zeal. Feel like traveling on. Lord, by the touch of your presence, if there be sick, if there be any afflicted or discouraged tonight, may you come break the tempter's power. Please take away every gloom, O God, and fill the lives of your children with your glory. Bless the saints once again tonight. Bless your servant, the pastor. Bless all the ministers in here, the officers, every family, young and old, everyone. May you keep them always in your presence. Let your grace be sufficient for your church. For all their cares and all that they have done, may you look upon them, O God, with your eyes of mercy, grace, and glory, and visit them in a special way. Thank you for the grace to have this time with the believers. We pray, O God, that the effect of the same will abide with us for a long time to come. Keep us happy, keep us healthy, keep us safe. But above all, keep us spiritual and waiting for thy coming as we trust to meet again. Make that happen, Lord. And we pray that you will bless the words that we share again tonight. We want to thank you for the songs of Zion that the believers have offered. Thank you for the saints who have gathered as a choir to bring a blessing, O God, unto the hearts of your people. Thank you for the musicians. Thank you for all the offices. Thank you for everyone who has played one role or the other, even in the background. Father, may you remember them for good. Bless your children now. And as we open thy word, may you come out from the pages of the scriptures to reveal thyself to us individually. Grant it is our prayer. May the word that goes forth bring healing, bring deliverance, bring salvation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you, saints. I told you in the morning when we pronounce a blessing, you say amen. I want a healthy amen. The Lord bless you, saints. Aha, that's the way it should be. God bless you. We are welcome back to the house of the Lord tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Now to keep you standing, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Revelation chapter 6. We are reading, we'll navigate a bit around the book of Revelation 5, 6, 12 and 13, if the Lord permits tonight. But Revelation chapter 6 for your background. And I'll take two verses from there, and I'll take two verses from that of 13 also. And we'll see if we can take more. Okay, we might take also from Revelation 12. Revelation 6:1, if you are there, say amen. Amen. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth, conquering and to conquer. Amen. Amen. Revelation 13. Verses 8 and 9. Revelation 13, 8 and 9. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. And finally, Revelation 12, if you don't mind. let's take from verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they, we, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Anytime the devil tries to harass you, tell him you have but a short time. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. God bless you. You may please be seated. Once again, I thank the Lord for making it possible for me to be with the saints at this time. And I must tell you the truth. I've enjoyed every bit of my time, both in fellowship and outside of fellowship with all of you. And I want to appreciate our pastor very much for all that he has done to bring me into America, by extension Arizona, and his cares, his support, amen, and his giftings, the offering, and all that you people have supported him to do. I pray that the Lord will bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless the family. God bless you, Mama. I told you the other day, I said anytime I go, I have new mamas. Remember I said that? So God has blessed me with another mother in Arizona. Amen. Don't worry. Sometimes this mother is older than me. Sometimes my mothers, I'm older than them. What is important is that whoever takes care of me is my mother. So the Lord bless you, ma, and the Lord bless all of you. That's another mother there, because we were in a house and she wanted me to have everything they put on the table. All right. God bless everyone. I sincerely appreciate you all. I'm going with nice memories of my visit, and you can be sure I will tell everybody at home. So, like I said in the morning, the Lord bless, keep you, and be with you till we meet again. As far as meeting again, there is no doubt we shall meet again. So, till then, may he keep you healthy, settled, established, happy, serving the Lord, and advancing and prospering in him, till we'll see him and see our Lord Christ again. God bless you, saints. I appreciate you all. Amen. And I must appreciate this local assembly. A revelation came to me. I've personally appreciated one of our brothers here. I wouldn't mention him, but you all know him. But to know that it is from this local assembly that the entire message believing word is blessed is a mighty thing. You see, the search engine we use for the message that has become my companion. You see, you wouldn't know what a blessing that has been to thousands and thousands all over the world. But I tell you, it has been a blessing. If I don't have that particular app, you will see me coming with big bag. Yes, my clothes are usually not many. Maybe 1/3 of my bag, but 2/3 or even more of my bag is spoken word books. Yeah, because sometimes you want people who wants you to show them from where you are quoting from. And we did that for years until this blessing came. So God bless this church. God bless my brother. Amen. God bless all of you. I will. God bless you, Pastor, for supporting such a project. I will let everybody know back at home that I was blessed to be in the church that has been a great blessing to the body of Christ. That is more than $1 million to me, that I can have the entire message just in the palm of my hand. But you know what? It leaves you and I without excuse. Take that from if that's all I say tonight. Amen. It used to be in the days when we were growing up, I know you wouldn't suffer from that because I came from a third world country. We don't have access we don't have access much to the sermon books. You see? So we borrow here, and the person you are borrowing from feels like a master. And it makes you, sometimes they make you write how many days you put the day. What time exactly are you going to bring my book back? You have to commit. I'm not joking. That was the truth. And some of us then, we couldn't even afford to go and do photocopies of the pages. So what I do for most of the time is that I will study, and then all the paragraphs that appeal to me in a special way, I will write them out by my hand. So I have a lot of diaries that I could make a compendium of spoken word books from. I'm telling you the truth. So, but when this thing came, life is good. Amen. Right now, all I travel with actually is just my Bible and my iPad. Or tablet, whatever you call it. iPad is for iPhone, tablet is for the others. Is that right? And sometimes, but and a very few collections of some topical studies. That's all. And it will fit my very small briefcase and some other things. Yeah. Wearing before, if I carry two bags, one big bag is full of spoken word books. But now, so God bless you, saints. God bless you. Let's appreciate the Lord for this. Amen. Amen. So, I'll tell the ministers and the brethren I meet at home that, you know what, I was blessed to be in the church that has been blessed to bless the believers. So God bless you. So tonight, if the Lord will be our help, which I trust He will, I want to speak on the overcoming power in all ages. I know that all of us appreciate a victory. Nobody wants to be defeated. But you see, in these last days, if you want to be an overcomer, you need this power. Amen. So tonight, I'm celebrating the message of the hour. Because that is really the power that can make you overcome. And I'm glad it's available in everywhere, in the most minutest thing. So how will it bring us overcoming is what we want to show tonight. May God bless you. Starting from Revelation 12 that we read, the Bible said a generation overcame. The Bible didn't say they are going to overcome. They already overcame. Just like I showed you in the morning, that everything God wanted to do for you, He has already done. In God's economy, there is no unfinished business. If you need healing, He's already healed you. If you need salvation, He has already saved you. If you need forgiveness, He has already given you. You need victory, you already overcame. But all you need to do is to accept it. May God give us that secret of acceptance. He said, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Right. Now, the blood of the Lamb literally will be the physical blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? But when the prophet was preaching the message token, He said, it has gone from the literal blood to the life that was released from the blood. Amen. Amen. And that was why He called the message the token, meaning the receipt, the evidence that the blood was shed on your behalf. But something released that to you in these last days. So allow me to show you that, so that you can treasure what you are holding. Because in the message rapture, Brother Branham said, there's going to be a great Armistice Day. Is that what you call it? Right. Amen. A day you celebrate the veterans of battle who were marching in victory as a memorial to the victories in the war. Right. Amen. It's about there's going to be a great spiritual one. It wouldn't be a march from one area to another. It's going to be a march from earth to glory. And he said the victors will be displaying upon their chests the blood of Jesus Christ. What did he call it? He said the message of the hour in the age that they live in. So the blood of Christ to us is the message of the hour. Oh my goodness. We're going to also prove that tonight. But let us start this way. In the Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3, the prophet, the scripture introduced to us seven church ages. Is that right? Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And when the scripture was introducing these ages to us, the way God starts in each age is to first introduce himself in the quantity of revelation that he wants the people of that age to know him of. So there's a portion of the revelation of Godhead. Then you will see God commending them for the good that they have done. You will see them rebuking them for their failures, and also giving them solutions on how to come out of that failure. But his closing message that was unique to each of the age was to offer an incentive to the overcomer of every age. And that is why you will hear him say, "And to him that overcome, I will give him the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden. To him that overcome, the second death will not hurt him. To him that overcome, he will eat the Eden manna. To him that overcome, I will give him power to rule over nations, and I will give him a morning star. To him that overcome, I will clothe him in white raiment, which is the righteousness of the saints," something like that. "To him that overcome, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. To him that overcome, I will make him to sit with me in my throne. To him that overcome, I will make him a pillar in my house." There were seven promises in the seven church ages only to overcomers. What was God doing? Brother Bram said, God being a good heavenly father, he knows how to encourage us in the things that he wants and discourage us in what he does not want. God does not want you to end your race in defeat. He wants you to end it in victory. Which victory he has already made available. But no matter how many resources are available to you, until you accept them and personally confess them, they will not be your personal possession. But I'm showing you tonight that God is interested in you overcoming. Now, if you must overcome, then there must be battle. Is that right? You don't talk about overcoming without a battle. In fact, the outcome of every battle is either you overcome or you are defeated. And if there is a battle, then there must be an enemy to contend with. You don't go into battle against a friend. You go into battle against an enemy. Hallelujah. And in this battle, there is no avoidance. You can say, "I will just go like a gentleman. I will be ladylike and go on my way. And don't disturb nobody. Let nobody disturb me." If you don't go to this enemy will come for you. So there is no avoiding this battle. So you don't go with the attitude of avoiding the battle, because you will meet it anyway. Brother Bram said, "When I came to Christ, everything looks nice and beautiful. I got so carried away, I said, there is nothing like an enemy. And every day I run into him and he keeps giving me a crash." Then God has to call my attention to it and say, "That's not the attitude. You've got to admit you have the enemy. And that is the way to prepare to confront him." Church, I want you to know that you have an enemy tonight. You don't have two enemies. You just have one. Your enemy is my enemy. We all have a common enemy. And the earlier we realize, the better we are prepared to confront this enemy. Amen. And God knows also that you are going to confront this enemy. And that is why he offers you weapons of warfare. Are we still together? I'm trying to build a simple case so that these my friends can get it. Hallelujah. He offers you what? Weapons for your warfare. These weapons are not to fight your brother or your sister. They are to fight the enemy. Now, the weapons are invisible because your enemy is also not visible. He said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." And by this, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. Huh? They are not carnal, but I want you to know they are tangible. Even though you don't see them, you can feel them. You can touch them. You can use them. Because the Bible said, even though they are not carnal, yet they are mighty to pull down strongholds. Applying these weapons will give you victory. It has proven to be very powerful and very effective. And God is so sure of these weapons. Until when he was kitting you with these weapons, he gave you breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, your feet shod or covered with the preparation of the gospel. He gave you the girdle of truth. And everything he gave you, they were frontal weapons to make you confront the battle. Either you launch offensive or you are prepared for defensive. But God never offered you a weapon to cover your back. Check Ephesians chapter 6. Because God was so sure and is still so sure that if you apply these weapons correctly, you wouldn't need to run away. There's no running away in this battle because our back is not protected. All our weapons are frontal. Amen. Because God is so sure that if you confront the battle, you will win. So let's launch offensive. And let's prepare for defensive. Whichever way he comes, let him know that we meet more than his match. Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. You love him tonight. So we've got these weapons to fight this enemy. But there's a challenge here. This enemy is not easy to detect. Are we together? It's not easy to identify him. Until you identify a target, even if you are a sniper, there's nothing to snipe at. Is that right? You've got to be able to identify who you are fighting. Brother Bram said, the biggest weapon of the devil is to conceal his identity. And that is why all the people of the earth will worship him. They'll go to church every Sunday and say, "We are casting, binding, loosing, and kicking the devil." And yet they will worship him wholesale. So if you are ever going to be an overcomer today, you must have what it takes to identify him. Brother Bram said, the way this devil conceals, this enemy conceals his identity is this. Look, his name is clear to all. Everybody knows his name, Satan. But knowing his name is not what gives you victory. As much as knowing him in person. The Bible said to know Christ is life. You know why that gives you life? If you can really have the revelation of Christ, then whatever is opposite that becomes the devil. Are you catching it? I could know the name of Pastor Doug Baker, but if I've never seen him before, do you know I will come into a Tucson and I will pass him, I will go past him and still be asking for Pastor Baker? Do you understand? Yeah. I know the name, but I don't know his person. This is the way the devil trick many a lot of people. And Brother Bram said he has two weapons to do this. One, he does not want to be known for who he is. He is darkness, but he associates with light. He's a liar and the father of lies, but he associates with the truth. Are we together? Then number two, when the devil wants to approach you, he deals with you the way your mind runs. He approaches you by the things that you put value on. When he came to the Garden of Eden in the beginning, he never came outside of the message of that hour. He came to Sister Woman. She wasn't Eve at that time. It was when she gave birth to good and bad that she became mother of all living. That's Eve. But her initial name was a woman. And she asked the sister, excuse me, sister, I was listening to the message to Pastor God preached the other day. Did he actually say we shouldn't eat anything at all? What was he trying to quote? The message for that hour. But tell you what, Satan knew what God said. But the only way to start a conversation is by approaching the sister that way. Because the man who pretended not to know what God said suddenly knew the reason why God said what he said. Do you understand? So he approached that woman by the message of that hour. If the devil is going to come to you today, he's not going to carry a Bible alone. He's going to carry a Bible and put a spoken word book behind it. Because that will attract you. And you will think you are dealing with a brother. Are you following? So that is the devil trying to deal with you the way your mind runs. When he appeared to St. Martin, one of the messengers of the seven church ages, the prophet said it took time to study the scriptures to know how Christ will be adorned as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Satan studied verse by verse, line by line, such that the creature that stood before St. Martin fitted the scripture perfectly. Are you with me? You look at the Bible and you look at the creature, the being standing before you, you won't see any difference. That is how far the devil will go in order to approach you. And he asked Martin, I am your Lord and Savior. Worship me. Worship has always been his problem from the beginning. That was what threw him out of heaven. Amen. And he's still looking for that. Even when he met the Lord on the Mount of Temptation, he was still demanding worship. Amen. And the Bible said all the people of the earth will worship him. So he will succeed in getting worship. But you see, it is not the worship of those people he wanted. That's right. Their worship has got no premium. Yeah. He wanted a worship with premium. That's it. And a worship with premium is the worship that comes with a sense of appreciation. Right. Comes from the angle of a man who truly knew where he has been brought out from. Amen. Amen. So even if all the people of the earth are worshiping him, he's not interested. He wanted it from a particular set of people. When you read the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah, what the worship he wanted was from the stars of God. Are you catching it? He hasn't lost the idea till now. And that is why if he abandons the world out there, he's still coming for you. Because you are the one who has exactly what he wanted. I will give you a physical type in the scripture. Do you remember Haman? Mordecai? Esther? Do you remember? Haman is a perfect shadow representation of Satan. The Bible said Haman was promoted to become a prince, the highest after the king. And that was exactly the position Lucifer had before he fell. Brother Bram said he was co-equal with God, except in creation. And Isaiah said he was perfect in his ways until iniquity was found in him. So Haman was raised so high. And anytime he goes, he get worship from everybody in the kingdom of King Ahasuerus. But do you know his only problem? Because he couldn't get it from Mordecai. Mordecai was the only problem Haman had in his life. And it's a physical type of the spiritual problem that Satan has. The Bible said he will get worship from all the people of the earth. But there will be an exception. Those whose names are in the Lamb's book. Lamb section. Allow me to show your name tonight in the Lamb's book of life. I will show you. Just allow me. You see, we're already calling the names and you're already responding. So the friends of Haman are to tell him, if Mordecai, ordinary Mordecai, insignificant Mordecai, a gate man of the palace, if that's the only problem you have, take care of that problem so you can enjoy your wealth and your scholarship. Yes. But you see, that was his nemesis. Yes. Satan is preparing for another nemesis. Yes. This is not the age of ox. So if he's expecting massacre like he did in those dark ages, it's not going to work this time around. This is the age of eagle anointing. When the enemy comes like a flood, the standard that is raised against him today is a rapture standard. Flight. A quick short walk that will silence the agnostics and the critics. It's going to be done by these end time overcomers. You love him? So, it was from you he wanted that worship. And that is why he will not relent. But tell the devil he will lose it and lose it finally. Because he will never get it. So, he came to Martin. He said, I am your Lord and Savior. See me, worship me. And Martin was looking. Now, what Martin saw was perfectly scriptural. Underline it. So he shouldn't ordinarily have a restraint from worshiping him. But you see, where our senses couldn't reach, there's a super sense deposited in every elect that gives them a measure of discernment. This discernment is not messianic discernment. It's the discernment to be able to tell right from wrong. Even though these guys, merchants, couldn't place the problem, but he received a divine check. Don't do it. And as he waited upon the Lord, the grace of God came down. Truly, it looks very biblical. It looks very scriptural. But before anything that looks scriptural can be accepted as the truth of the scripture, it must meet three qualifications. In the message, Christ is revealed in his own word. Brother Bram said, there must be no misinterpretation. There must be no misrepresentation. Amen. There must be no mislocation. He said, the guy you are seeing before you looks perfect, but there's a mislocation. Because the crown that is upon his head, the same Bible he read said, the saints will crown him. Lord of lords and King of kings. But you see, before the crown, he already got his own crown. You may wish to ask him how he got his crown. And by the time Martin said, excuse me, mister, how did you get your crown? He knew he's been exposed. The word will defeat the devil. Anytime, anywhere, under any circumstance. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. What am I trying to show you? The devil deals with you the way your mind runs. So he makes you feel he's a brother. You know, there was a young man or a middle-aged man called Daniel in the Bible. How many remember Daniel?
Yes.
The hosts of the kings, the kingdom, the structure of the kingdom of King Darius was envious of this man because the presence of the Lord was with him. He had a gift that superseded anything in the land until the king was calling him his little god. The princes will never hear any of such. And they began to attack Daniel. They attacked him with malice. He will not keep malice with them. He rode above it. Everything they did contrary, he was riding above it. Then one of their strategic advisors said, if you continue this way, you will not get Daniel. The only way you can get Daniel is to try him by the law of his God. So you know what these guys did? These enemies started studying the Bible in order to get something to use against Daniel. And they saw where it was said that, look, thou shalt have no other God, worship no other God. They said, this is enough. We shall tell the king to create another God. So what were they testifying to? They said, this is the way we will get Daniel, because we know this Daniel will not break the scriptures. So your enemy will study, this enemy study us by our weapon. So he reads Bible as much as you read. You don't believe that? You want me to prove it to you? If a man could be so daring and challenge the author of the Bible and said it is written, and Jesus had to say it is also written, and he brought another one, it is written. You think he doesn't know the scriptures? He knows the scriptures. He knows it better than denominations. He knows it better than Pentecostals. There are some things he believed correctly, but he preached it wrongly because he's an hypocrite. The Bible told me Satan believed there is one God and he trembles. But what did he preach to the church? Three gods. So who is a better believer between the church and Satan? Come on, church. That is the enemy that we are dealing with. But I want you to know tonight, no matter how hard he concealed his identity, there is a generation, the Bible said, will never worship him. And the power not to worship him is to know him for who he is. If the church world knew Satan for who he is, nobody will worship him. But they are giving him worship wholesale. I'm thinking they are worshiping God. So allow me to show you your name now in the Lamb's Book of Life, because you are the generation that overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You are the generation whose names in the Lamb section that will never worship him. You only worship the one who had subdued you. Are you getting it? So the earth is worshiping the devil because he has conquered them. Until he took on the identity of the God of this evil age. Is that right? He's the God of the present worldly system. He's the God of cosmos. But he cannot own the earth. A God that is a squatter is our tenant. We shall soon send him packing. Because the believer owns this earth. You don't believe that? We own this earth. And it will come back to us. Amen. In Revelation chapter 6, where we read, Revelation chapter 6 opened six seals for us. And in Revelation chapter 8, the last one was opened. But the book being opened here in Revelation chapter 5 was in the hand of him that sat on the throne. Are you still with me? Now, but the one who sat on the throne was not interested in holding the book.
That's right.
You know why? It is not a book meant to be resident in heaven.
That's right.
It is a book meant for here.
Amen.
And that is why he wasn't comfortable to keep it by himself.
Right.
That book was on this earth before.
Yes, it was.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
And it's back to this earth.
Amen.
When it was here before, It was the book by which Adam exercises authority as a son of God. It was the book by which Adam exercised his power as the governor of the earth. God was okay to stay in heaven as long as he had a faithful son to take care of the earth. By that book, Adam had the mind of God. Are you here with me? You say, how do you know? All the creatures that God created wasn't named by God. It was named by Adam. Is that what the Bible said? How was Adam so correct that God needed not to make a correction? When they brought an animal to him, he said, this one shall be called lion. God jumped up. Exactly. If I were to have named that animal, I would have called him a lion. Why? Because by the book, Adam had the mind of God. By this book, I must show you the blessing of this book so you will appreciate it. By this book, Adam never needed any technology to assist his living. He never needed an aeroplane. He never needed a yacht. He never needed a boat. He never needed a tricycle, four cycle, five cycle, whatever cycles. If he's to move to anywhere, he just say, I want to get to Flagstaff. And he will find himself in Flagstaff by that book. He lived by spoken word. If Adam was going through the garden and a tree had flourished and spread his wings and branches across the path, Adam did not need a bandsaw to prune the branches to make a way for himself. He just talked to the tree. Mr. Tree, adjust yourself. I want to pass. And tree will say, oh, master, sorry. And they will turn. And Adam will go by that book. If it's going, Adam does not know the difference, did not know the difference between earth and land, between land and water. He just keep going. If he gets to a water spot, it is the water that will take a decision. Oh, master is coming. What must I do? Shall I gather more gravity underneath me to keep him suspended while he's walking upon me? Or shall I just open up for him so he passes through the dry ground? You say it's not possible. Do you know why it's looking over your head? Brother Bram said, when man fell in the beginning, he so fell until he lost the consciousness of who and what he was in the beginning. He said, that is the reason for the message of the hour. To bring you back to that consciousness. God gave you a Moses who walked on dry land in the sea. And he gave you a Peter who walked upon the sea. Why was God doing all those things? To show to you how it was in the beginning. And give you appetite for return. But the devil came into the garden and upset it. He was also interested in that book. But his dirty hands couldn't handle the book. So the Bible said Adam fell. Brother Bram said when he fell, he spilled out the content. He lost the holding of that book. But before the dirty hands of Satan could grab it, God swept down from glory. It's never late. It's always on time. He grabbed the book and he went back. Are you following? But if the book remained in heaven, John will continue to cry. How many ever read Revelations 5? John was weeping. Why? Because nobody could rise up to the challenge to take the book. He said, who is worthy? Because the one holding it did not want to have it. If the book is not here with us, Christianity is in vain. Our gathering tonight is unnecessary. When nobody was worthy, John, your type, was weeping. If no one was worthy, he is lost. His generation is lost. We came to the earth hopeless. We died miserable. And face a permanent hell. But thanks be to God. When no one was worthy, God decided by himself. Amen. You aren't saved by the blood of the Jew. You are saved by the blood of God. God decided to prepare a body for himself. And he came in that body, paid the price as we showed in the morning. Amen. He opened the path to the holiest of the holies that was close to us by the fall of Adam, so that you and I could now have access to go back. Do you see the reason why those who died before Calvary couldn't go to the presence of the Lord? Because they didn't get a perfect atonement. And Christianity is not complete until it has gotten to the inner of the inner. Are you getting it? Even if you draw the three rings, the outer one, the body, is that right? The middle one, the spirit, and the inner one, the soul. Until God connects with your soul, you are not yet a Christian. Until then, you are believing to being a Christian. You might have taken water baptism, and we'll regard you, because water baptism inducts you into our fellowship. Amen. And we can regard you as a brother. But technically, you are not yet a Christian. Even the root, what makes you commit sin, is still in there. Under justification. Under sanctification, the root is still in there. But what gives you grace to rise above certain pressure is because the branches, the connecting wire, has been shortened. But when you get under tension, the desire for sin is still in you. This is why when God is ready to finish the business, it comes with a holy fire. Because Brother Bram said the best sanitizer is fire. It's going to cleanse the place. It's going to purge your spirit. Your spirit is a neutral guy. He only responds to whoever you are in the soul. That is why the prophet said the soul is the nature of the spirit. If the devil is in charge, your spirit will be mean. If God is in charge, your spirit will be godly. So this spirit that has been used to meanness, Brother Bram said he needs a cleansing. So the holy fire of God must come down to clean your spirit and to burn the root of sin. Amen. Then when death is born, the old nature dies. And your real you, which is the seed germ, your real soul come alive. That is the seed that is born of God that cannot commit sin. You love him tonight. Amen. So, the worthy lamb took the book, and the elders told John, "John, stop weeping. Watch what has taken place. The lamb has prevailed." To do what? To take the book and to loose the seals. Oh my. The book we are talking about is Bible. But you see, if the lamb took this book and never lose the seals, no work done. Are you following me? I'm showing you the path to your overcoming. And you will realize that overcoming is peculiar only to the bride of Jesus Christ. So let nobody ask me a foolish question. Why do you think it's only the bride that will go in the rapture? The program is clear from the scripture. Any other thing outside of the bride will not make it. They will have their time after 1,000 years. The Bible spoke of a better resurrection. How many ever read it in your Bible? He used the word better. He said in Hebrews 11, he said the saints refused compromise deliverance because of the hope of a better resurrection. That's the language of the Bible, not mine. So if there is a better resurrection, it shows that there's a comparison between two resurrections. Oh, goodness me. The first resurrection is the better resurrection. The second one is the general resurrection. The first resurrection is only for those who died in Christ. And those who are alive till Christ come will have a body change. Any other dead will wait till after 1,000 years. And let me tell you, whoever comes up in the first resurrection or have a body change in the first resurrection has several advantages. You don't know that. I know you know. He has an advantage of being at the wedding supper. He has an advantage of enjoying the millennium. He has an advantage of sitting on the white throne judgment to judge the earth. And when the city that John saw coming down, that Jesus said he's going to prepare, when that city eventually come here, he has an advantage of living inside the city as a first class citizen of the new earth and the new heaven, as a first class citizen of eternity. There are degrees in eternity. Some are going to be dashed eternal life, but they are not going to enjoy eternal life on the same basis as the bride. Oh my. There's going to be nations that is going to populate around the city, but the city will be the capital. And not one of them will be qualified for a visa to come into the city. That's what my Bible told me. And this is why I'm living like this, because I've got something to live for. The only people who will be able to come in once in a cycle are the kings that are over them.
That's right.
To pay tribute to King Jesus and his bride. And when they are going back, we'll tell them to take a souvenir. Pick a leaf of the tree of life and go and show your people. Come on, church. A wonderful time is ahead. We are not following a cunningly devised fable. This is reality. Live for it, my brother. Live for it, my sister. Do not cast away your confidence. So the Lamb took this book. But I'm saying tonight, if all he did was to take the book and did not lose it, no job done. They told us that the population of the earth today is about 7 billion. And by their calculation, 3 billion subscribe to Christianity. Are you with me? That's what they said. Now, 3 billion people are carrying this Bible. But I want to say that 90% of that 3 billion, they are carrying or 95, they are carrying a closed book.
That's right.
Ah, ha, 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 ha. Closed book is not going to help you much. This is why, as soon as the Lamb took the book in Revelation chapter 5, the urgency to open that book made him in the next chapter start loosening the seals. You know why? There are names to be released in that book. Anybody who comes to Christ was supernaturally called. Did you hear me? It's possible that on the day you were witness to, 10 of you heard the same gospel together, but it struck a home run in your heart and now you walk away from it. What do you think happened? Supernatural. It wasn't meant for them, but it is meant for you. Are you catching it, my brother? Don't take those things for granted. It is election. And you must live a life that appreciates it every day. The Lamb took the book in Revelation 5. So, watch it now. What qualifies him to take the book? The price he paid on Calvary. Let me tell you tonight, anybody could die for the cause that he believed in.
Sure.
But the question is, will your blood be accepted as a price?
Yes.
No human blood qualified for acceptance. It was only his own blood that qualified. All right. So he used his blood to do what? To purchase this. Aha. Are you getting it? Why will he have to get this? Because there are people to be released out of this. Overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And the prophet said the blood of the Lamb is the message. Are you seeing the connection? Now, they told him, if you want that book back, you got to pay a price. And Christ said, I want the book back. Because without that book, I can't release my home people. I want to call them out. Without that book, I can't do a job of redemption. What you saw on Calvary could not be manifested in the individual lives of the redeemed without the book. So the book holds our redemption. Is that right? Now, they said, okay, if you need that book, if it's so important to you, pay the price. And the price he paid, the price that was asked for was his blood. I want to dramatize it a little. Amen. Because you must get this. How the blood, how the message became the blood that redeemed you. I'm looking for a dollar here. I think I have $1 here. All right. God bless you, my brother. Please come. Please come, come, come. Don't worry. Don't be ashamed. Be my partner. You will still do something for me tonight. And you also. All right. Take, brother. I'm selling this bottle of water. And you ask me for the price. And I say it's $1. Now you have a choice. If this $1 has a better value to you, you keep your money. And I keep my water. Isn't it? But if you need this water more than the $1, what are you going to do? He's paid me. And I've given him. Now, if anybody asks you, where's your $1? What would you show as your $1? God bless you. So, did you agree with him? That this is his $1? All right, that is exactly the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He needed to pay a price of his blood in order to get the book. If you ask Jesus, where is your blood? What will he show you? Are you catching it? But Christ is not going to show you this book in a closed form. Because that isn't exactly what he paid for. So if you are following, handling a closed book, you have not accepted redemption. Oh my. This was why in Revelation chapter 6, it started opening. The opening of the closed book is the message of the hour. The revealed word. So if you ask me for the blood of Jesus Christ, I will show you the message. Amen. Are you catching it? Amen. Now, if you look at Revelation 6, six seals were opened there. The first four seals, they look similar. The fifth one is souls under the altar. We talk about it a little in the morning. Jews crying for vengeance. Right. The sixth one is the seal of judgment. Tribulation, all this COVID, all this pandemic, epidemic, whatever has happened till now and will still happen, they were loosed under the six seals. All there was were under the six seals. Then the seventh seal is the ministry of Christ himself that opened up everything to us. Are you following, church? Now, if you watch the first four seals, deals with the entire content of the seven church ages. So be careful with God mathematics. Amen. For the fact that it is seven seals does not mean seven equals seven church ages. No. The fifth one is not even about the Gentile. But the first four seals deals with the entire thing in the ages. Amen. Brother Bram says seal one covers age 1 to 3. Seal two covers, age 4. And seal 3 covers age 5 and 6. And the last fourth seal covers age 7, Laodicea. Are we together? All right. Now, if you watch in the opening of these seals, I'm talking of the first four, depending on the age that we have. It's a common thing in there. We've got some beings that were present. The first four seals is to expose Satan in the form of us riders. Brother Bram said there's only one us rider jumping on different powers. Us is mean powers. So there are no four riders here. It's just one on four different horses. Are you getting it? Now, what the seal held is the secret of the horse rider. Now, what will give you overcoming power is the revelation of who those riders are. Because that will be the exposure of Satan for who he is. Now, it is not everybody that will have this exposure. It is only the class of John. Amen. So, let us come back again, my brothers. Please come back. Let us see how God opened it to us. Now, in this revelation, whether the first seal, second seal, third seal, or fourth seals, there were few people in there. The lamp was there. John was there, and the counter power force of God over the to destroy the effect of the activity of the horse riders in the life of a peculiar people. Because the horse riders were meant to deceive the entire earth, except those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, the only thing that could make, that could protect those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life is a counter force that will destroy the effect of the activity of the horse riders in the life of those people. And that is the emergence of the four living creatures. The Bible called them beasts. Brother Bram said the use of the word beast to describe those characters is derogatory. Because they are the powers of God. It is a being of God. You don't use a beast to describe God. So he went back to the original translation to pick the root word. And he ran it and he said it should have been interpreted as living creatures. So we've got the one, the first one with the face of a lion, the second with the face of an ox, the third with the face of a man, and the last one for this age with the face of an eagle. Do you understand that? God bless you. So, let's say my brother here is John. John was there. The living creature was also there. And the lamp was there. So this is Brother John. Amen. Now, this is the lamp. Hold the book. Please come here. Stand here. John, stand here. Whoever does not like this brother, you are in trouble tonight. Because this is your representation in the book of Revelation. John represented all of us. Now, let's see the drama of Revelation chapter 6. And this drama is common to the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal. Are you with me, church? When the lamb has opened one of the seals, open. The lamb has opened. But you realize that even though the lamb has opened the seal, revealing the horse rider, it could be white, it could be red, it could be black, it could be pale. Is that right? Do you realize that John did not have access to what the lamb opened until there is a mediator? I'm showing you the simple thing we all read together. It takes a messenger, it takes a ministry, it takes an anointing to show John what the lamb opened, revealed. So if really you want to have the devil exposed to you, you must come under the power of that anointing. Because outside of that anointing, you cannot tell who Satan is. And you will worship him. So the lamb has opened, and I saw the living creature with the face of an eagle doing what? Saying, John, come and see. So it was this eagle anointing that showed to John what the Lamb revealed.
Amen.
And the revelation was so clear until John could testify. I saw a pale horse rider with his identity named as Death, and hell followed him. John couldn't have testified of what he saw without the intervention of the eagle anointing. The eagle anointing is on a messenger today. You wouldn't be able to tell who the devil is without coming under the ministry of the messenger of this hour. So the message of the hour, which is the revealed word, is your power to overcome. God bless you guys. Thank you. I can see you love that. So I've just called your name out of the book of life. So whoever is the person that came under that anointing is the only one that we have the devil revealed. They are the people the Bible is talking about in Revelation chapter 13. All the people of the earth will worship him, except those. These are the doors, because their names is in the Lamb section of the book of life. They must recognize their day and the message of their day. And by that message, have the devil skinned out before them. If you think that's a simple thing, what do you make out of this? Before the seals were opened, do you realize that strong theologies have profound explanation on who these riders were?
Yes.
Did you realize that? So much convincing then, until even our prophet adopted one of the teachings. Let's say the truth for what it is. He adopted the position of Dr. Uriah Smith, the great teacher of the Seventh-day Adventist. And Dr. Uriah Smith said, the white horse rider, because it is white, and because he had a bow with not an arrow. So he doesn't have a dangerous weapon with his bow. So it's got to be a bow of love. He said it is the Lord Jesus Christ using the bow of love to conquer his people. To get his people. And it sounds like a perfect revelation. People will have jumped and shouted and said amen. But guess what we have done? We have just given salute to Satan. Ooh. Thank God for the revealed word. You deny the opening of the seals. I don't know how you are saved. Then the same theologians moved further. They said the red horse rider, because it is red, connotes danger. So Jesus is becoming dangerous. That's exactly what you are saying. Then the black horse rider, because it is black, they said that is Satan. So the dangerous Jesus became Satan. Then the fourth horse rider, because it is pale, unstable, uncertain color, they said that is confusion. And I agree with them. For Jesus to become dangerous and eventually became Satan is utter confusion. But thanks be to God. Brother Bram said, I had it that way before until the angel of the Lord came down. Great things happened in your city here. The world is trying to deny it, but they are too late. I believe it. Seven angels came down. A backslider made an irresponsible statement. He said that could be the smoke of an aeroplane. What a blasphemy. Make sure you don't company with such people. I'm not teaching you hatred, but let me tell you, some people never said that much before our prophet applied Hebrews 6 to them in the message indictment. The 300 and something ministers of Chicago, they didn't say much as to do what? As to blaspheme. They only said, we never understood it like this. This is a great revelation. And it is the truth. We are going to buy 700 of those tapes and distribute among our parishes. And as a matter of fact, we are coming for water baptism. That was 1958 or thereabout. As of 1963, 5 years later, a sign of grace to them. The prophet said, we are still waiting for them to come and be baptized. And the prophet said, do you know what they have done? They heard the truth. They acknowledge it is the truth. But they refuse to walk in it. There is your unpardonable sin. And the prophet applied Hebrews 6 for them. As quiet, as harmless as their action really looked like. Now, what do you make of those who are frontally attacking the message? You say because they preach it before? Nonsense. You preach what you never believed. And we all are still in the race. Nobody has arrived. Time will tell. Improve many things. Church, we are in the time of the breach. Wherein the whole soldiers have been given space to be wiped out, so that only the true Jubilee children will inherit the kingdom. You say it's an aeroplane smoke that forms the cloud of mystery. I did my own research, and I'm sure there are aeronautical engineers here. They told me, you know, that thing was 30 miles across and 26 miles high. Is that right? Is that right? Or the other way, whatever it is. But do you know, in that era, no aeroplanes ever flies above 4 miles. Go do your own search. I've done mine. No aeroplane, by the advancement of technology then, the highest flyer flew only 7 miles in that era. So if it was a smoke of aeroplane, smoke is like a vapor, isn't it? It disintegrates as soon as it is released. But this particular smoke formed and stayed. It must be an unusual smoke, or you are not intelligent. It's either of the two things. I'm serious with this now. I don't joke with anything message, because you cannot discredit the value of the third Exodus. You know, every redemption article of every Exodus has always come under attack. And that is what you must know. If you take the Red Sea crossing out of the first Exodus, that Exodus meant nothing. Because Brother Bram said redemption has got two parts. Is that right? He said redemption by blood and redemption by power. Which means if he can save your soul, he can heal your body. They enjoy redemption by blood through the blood of the Passover lamb. God wanted to give them opportunity to enjoy it by power through the destruction of the enemy in the waters, through the opening of the Red Sea, a great miracle for the people of God to pass. But do you know what the critics said? They said they never passed through no Red Sea. No Red Sea ever opened. They only passed through a bunch of reeds. And you wouldn't expect anybody to believe such an irresponsible statement. But people believed it. If you take the virgin birth out of the second Exodus, that Exodus meant nothing. Brother Bram said some people rose up and said Jesus was not virgin born. And he said on the day it was preached, 500 ministers denounced their teaching of virgin birth. Oh yes. So people are not doing anything new today, being critical of the message. They are only filling up the cup of their fathers. Because every article of redemption in all Exodus has always come under attack. If you take the ring of mystery out of this Exodus, we are not better than Pentecostals. We are not better than denomination. Because that was where the commission for the third pole. That was where the opening of the word was commissioned. And it is the opening of the word that separated us from the church world. The first pull deals with your body. The second pull took care of your spirit. But it is the third pull that heals your soul. So no soul healing, no actual redemption or salvation without the third pull. The third pull commission came by the ring of mystery. Deal with it. Hallelujah. Amen. No cloud could have formed that high.
That's right.
If you go do search engine, look at what scientists even said about the cloud. Do you know they said something about that cloud?
Yep.
They said it was such an outstanding cloud that defied the logic of science.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what I read. I still have it on my iPad. I kept it on the section there. They said they called all the scientists to explain that. They said all the scientists in America or Arizona find themselves to be amateurs. They have no explanation. It said, but there was an evangelist that gave a clue. And they said by his clue, it could only be supernatural, and they tend to agree with him. Researchers agreed with the prophet. A backslider is disagreeing with the prophet. You can't overcome. Forgive me if I look very rough on that. I don't joke with anything that attacks the message. So if I'm offensive, bear with me. If I look rude, bear with my rudeness. Hallelujah. No plane ever fly that high. So I don't know the plane that formed a smoke there. And when smoke comes, it disintegrates. But this one not only formed, it stood for a while. And I'm not quoting what the brother said. I'm quoting what scientists, what researchers, what astrologers, what people who witnessed it, just like any other person said. Your aeronautic space observatory, this was what they said about it. Because everything must testify. What you must realize is that the day of the Lord will not come until there be a falling away first. When Brother Bram preached the message rapture, he approached the message of rapture from two angles. He approached it from the angle of Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter. Apostle Paul was the one that told you the Lord would suddenly descend with a shout, voice, and trump. Is that right? That was the last part of addressing by Brother Bram. But Apostle Peter said, that day of the Lord will not come until there be a falling away first.
Amen.
And that was where Brother Bram began his message of rapture.
Yeah.
He said, before this rapture take place, coffers will arise.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Are they not arising now?
Yeah.
Explosion and implosion. Coffers within and without. While Moses was dealing with Pharaoh externally in the first Exodus, he had Dathan, Korah, and Abiram to contend with internally. They are not ready to abandon the Exodus, but they became the liability of that journey. So if we have one Korah in the first Exodus, by the law of planting and reaping I showed you in the morning, we are going to have at least 612 Korahs. Or 1,224 Korahs. That's what you must understand. And if you want to get it, these Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they were men that were renowned. They were Levites. They were preachers with eloquence of speech. They are better preachers than Moses. You see why they will be able to gather people, even from the back of a prophet messenger with such supernatural vindication. Moses wasn't an interesting preacher because he stammers. Before he announced the topic, everybody is bored. If he wants to preach, the seed is not here with the shock. Seed. It takes him 30 minutes to announce this topic. The brothers are there sitting now, oh, give us Brother Dathan. He'll do a better job. Let Prophet Moses face the supernatural. And this was how these people got clout among the people. Many preachers are becoming more successful than even Brother Abraham.
That's right.
Getting carried away.
Yes.
God help you, God help me.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, let me close so you can go home. So, you see the opening of the seals. It took that living creature to show John, to expose to John who the enemy really was. When the seals became opened. Then in Revelation chapter 10, the mighty angel stood with the book opened. God bless you. You are following. I'm trying to look for a comfortable page. Stood with the book opened. Why was he standing with the book opened in Revelation 10, verse 1? Because in Revelation 6 and Revelation 8, he was busy opening. By Revelation 10, he has completely opened. So Revelation 10 becomes the summary of Revelation 5, 6, and 8. When he stood with that book opened in his hand, he was looking for a faithful person that he can hand it over to deliver it to John of this hour. What was delivered to you and I was the open book, which is the revealed word. And the word is not revealed without the message of the hour. The message of the hour is the revealed Bible. That was what the Lamb paid for. But it's not going to be open to her. Are you saying it? If you are not in the category of John, that can come under the headship of the living creature of this hour, your name is not in the Lamb section of the book of life. Quote me. Then the Bible said, as he was looking for one, he saw one in 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God. He didn't say the mysteries of God. One mystery. This is the mystery of God. Should be finished. When this mystery is finished, it will become the revelation of Jesus Christ. By the ministry of the seventh angel. That is the faithful Eliezer. Do you ever wonder how a woman fell in love with a man she never met? Abraham sent Eliezer to go and hunt a bride for Isaac, isn't it? Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride being hunted is a type of you. So, what did he go with? He went with the revelation of Isaac. And he preached the revelation of Isaac to Rebekah so much until the picture of Isaac became clear and she fell in love. That was why it was called a faithful servant. God gave us a model faithful servant today. Amen. Who is not going to inject his thought or idea? He's going to testify like Apostle Paul. That which I received from the Lord, the same I delivered. To the world he will be an eunuch. That was why he said, I was not the one that appeared at Ohio River. I was only the person near when he appeared. You are not feeding on me. A man, his word will fail. But you are feeding on the unfailing body watch of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. So he took the book for onward delivery to who? To John. Now, when you read that Revelation chapter 10, it is said that John, go and take the book from the hand of the angel. Is that what he said? It's to show to you the purity of delivery. You cannot feed from the hand of the angel without the messenger of the angel. But what that tells you is that it will never be the thought of William Branham. It will never be his idea. It's as it is delivered, so shall you receive it. And when John of this hour took the book, what was he told to do? Eat the book. You are now overcoming. You are not to eat a closed book. You are eating what? Opened book. Eat the revelation. In your mouth is going to be sweet. Has the word of God been sweet to you? All that you have heard so far, all that you have been hearing so far, is so sweet to us, brethren, because it's meant for our chemistry. In your mouth it's going to be sweet, in your belly it will be bitter. The prophet said the bitterness in your belly is the digestion. He said, when you digest the food becomes you, you become the food. The life it will produce will make the devil uncomfortable and there will be reaction. The reaction is the bitterness of it. But you've got nothing to be afraid of. The Bible said you must eat the book because you have a date with destiny. Thou must prophesy. And the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So you must show Christ on 2 feet again. You must demonstrate Christ. You must give the proof that he's alive. He is not dead. You must show yourself as the overcomer that will inherit all things. 7 promises to the 7 church ages will be inherited by all. It is not a promise for an age. You are going to inherit all the promises of the ages. Because the Bible said the overcomer inherits all things. Hallelujah. A quick short walk will be done here. God is not going to take you away quietly. He's going to wave you before this generation as his masterpiece. Amen. The pressure will come, let the devil bring it on. The prophet in the message, looking away to Jesus, he said in our spiritual race, the regime of Christ has outrun that of the devil. Yeah. He didn't use that word exactly, but that's what you will see there. He said, what we are doing now is that we are slowing down and waiting for the Satan, the other side, to catch up. He said, when they catch up, watch the thought pull them. Watch the power of God released in its entirety. He said, it's going to be against the totally lost, but it's also going to be for the church of Jesus Christ. So when they bring the press and the pressure, if you have taken in enough, what are you going to release? You are going to release the word. You are going to release the manifestation of Christ. So in this day that we have an opportunity, let's keep eating. Don't slack. Be gluttonous about eating. If anybody accuses you of gluttony, tell him it's because you understand the hour you are living in. In the message, spiritual food in due season, Brother Bram said, I want you to consider all that you have seen and all that you have heard. If they be the truth, accumulate all. So be greedy about it. Amen. And you have no excuse. It's on your phone. It's on your tablet. Thank God for our brothers that has raised the bar against the devil to make it available to the bride. Amen. So eat it in the morning, eat it in the evening. Because the ravens bought bread and flesh in the morning, they brought it in the evening. Keep accumulating. Brother Bram said, you are going to need every bit of it in the days that lay ahead. So you won't be a casualty, you will be a victor. You will be an overcomer. It is the standard of God against every temptation, against every wiles, against every disease of the enemy. Enjoy the book. Amen. And you shall be an overcomer. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Man,
yes.
Praise the Lord.
Did you enjoy hearing about you tonight? Amen. As we said, one of these services here just recently, the book that we're reading goes like this. You go to the last page and it says, and they all lived happily ever after. Right? We're reading from a certain section of the book, of course, right? Because everybody's not going to live happily ever after. But there's a happy ending to this story. Amen? And you will live happily ever after. Forever. Amen? I know the thoughts I have. I've thought towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Right? It's not an ending that God is going to be surprised by. And we shouldn't be either. because he's declared to us our expected end. Amen? Oh my. How can you be discouraged? How can you be depressed? My goodness. And somehow he chose us to be included in this. Somehow. Right? We all were as others. Right? You couldn't tell the difference between us and others at one time. Right? But God, who's rich in mercy. Amen. And now you've been included in this. Right? And you're depressed. Let the book come open to you. Amen. Eat the book. It's sweet. Amen. It's wonderful. I've talked to some in the last year or two have told me, you know, Brother Baker, I don't understand. You know, it used to be we were just so excited and so happy. And, you know, now things have become humdrum. And you know, I don't know what happened. And I do. You stopped eating. Right? Keep eating. Keep eating. It's sweet. It's still sweet in your mouth. Amen. It'll cause a war in your members, but it's still sweet. Amen. And even that war, even that indigestion is short-lived. Amen. Because it produces a victory. But it has to. You have to become that word. Amen. Wonderful. 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 Thank you, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know how a man can take you from Genesis to Revelation in one service and again and again, but God has worked it out. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Yes, we also looked at that cloud, and let's just say that there was, you know, if it was 26 miles high, 5,280 feet, that's 137,000 feet above, you know, that's higher than the SR-71 flew. If there was a plane that flew that high, a first-year physics student could calculate how much water would be required to produce that cloud that was 30 miles in diameter, whichever way it was, right? There's nothing big enough to produce that amount. Even if it was produced, there's nothing big enough to produce that, right? Oh, well, it was a rocket. Well, my dad was a launch control officer. I've seen missile launch after missile launch after missile launch. I grew up. We left Montana once. We left North Dakota once with a convoy. I wasn't part of the convoy. We ended up in California at Vandenberg Air Force Base. But they would convoy. They would pull a missile out of the hole, out of the silo. They would convoy it to Vandenberg. They would target it. The team would go through a launch just like it was a... like we're at war, and we would see the launch of the Minuteman missile. We also saw satellites that were launched and with Titan missiles and Atlas missiles. And you'll see the vapor from it, but you won't see it for very long. And you won't see it 26 miles up, and it won't be 30 miles across. You'll just see it for just a little while, and then it's gone, right? And they launch them from Vandenberg. They don't launch them from Arizona, right? So if it was a launch, how did that cloud get over here and then drift that way? Oh, well, there was something out at White Sands. You don't know who you're talking to, right? I worked for a missile company for 20 years. I know what took place there, right? It's just nonsense, just utter nonsense. But as we were discussing earlier this week, it's not even the right argument. Right? They're arguing about the sign. The sign pointed you to something, to an open book. Right? Guess what? I'm eating from an open book. And you want to argue about the sign? That there was something wrong with the sign? The sign brought me to the voice. And I heard the voice. Amen? And that these other voices are making an uncertain sound. Right? Oh, hallelujah. We are blessed people, friends. Blessed be his wonderful name. Aren't you happy tonight? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just worship here for a few moments. Worthy is the Lamb, the Revelation song. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty. Was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything. In rainbow living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Struck wonder at the mention of your name. Hallelujah. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. And